Ruah. There's a few of you that have been to OS. Ruah is Hebrews for the shout or the war cry. I say that a lot. I used to say booyah, and I had to sanctify it, so we made it Ruah. My wife and I, Olga, we're Tim and Olga. Few of you, I think, over there had Olga this weekend. That's my wife. It's not the old, for those of you who don't know her, she's not the Olga that's with evangelism. Okay, there's the Olga with evangelism, the long black hair. That's not my wife. Because she'll say Olga, and they're like, oh, Tim and Olga. No, not that Olga. So we have a ministry here on the base called Overcoming Strongholds. It meets most Tuesday nights at 6:30 in this room. You're welcome to come. And it's designed for those who just want to go deeper in God, or they've got barriers in their life that they want to overcome, or things, obstacles in the way spiritually that they want to get through. And so we started that as a place where people in the community could come to on a regular basis or when needed. Because sometimes, you know, you encountered somebody who's just going through something and you need to be able to send them somewhere immediately. That's kind of what that's set up for. So you're more than welcome to come and visit. All right. I just want to pray real quick. Father, I just ask you to impart your grace and your truth upon this word. Father, let life come forth. Let your heart come forth. Lord, I just thank you that you are the creator of heaven and earth, that there is none other beside you. And I thank you that we can worship you, that we can come together like this and receive impartation and healing from you. Just bless us, Lord. Let this word, Father, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how many got the notes okay. If you got those, I'm not using them. Sorry. Juliet was like, can I get some notes? I said, okay. I said, I don't know if that's one I'm using, but I'll get them to you. These are the revised notes that I got 2 hours ago. So this is what we're going to go with. We are going to be talking about truth in the inward parts. We all desire something, right? I mean, we all have desires. Some of us desire to, raise godly children. Some of us desire to draw closer to the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we have multiple desires. We might desire to get a better job or desire more finances or desire to get a spouse. How many in you here are single? Okay. Maybe you desire not to have a spouse. That's cool too. But we all have desires. And those desires, a lot of times, they drive us in our life. They motivate us to do something. You can usually tell what people's desires are a lot of times by watching them. You'll see the things when they talk about certain things, they light up. If I talk about paintball, I get excited. How many know what paintball is? Okay, how many do not know what paintball is? Okay, all right, a few of you. It's like you got these like guns and you shoot them and they got these little balls that come out and splat on you and they hurt. So I was really, before I came here, I was really into scenario paintball. We'd have like 24-hour games, okay? They were really crazy. But you can tell what people, what they desire and what they enjoy by when they start to speak about it or by what they're involved in. Well, in Psalms 51:6, it said, behold, this is David speaking. He says, you, speaking of God, desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. You desire truth. I just been pondering that this last couple hours. What does that mean? For the Lord, I mean, everyone's here because, you know, there's spiritual wholeness. You want to encounter God at a deeper level. You want to know him more. You want to be able to experience him in a greater way. You want to see him impact your life and the life of those around you. He says, you desire truth in the inward parts. That's God's desire for you. Think about that. Think about your desires and how much that drives you and motivates you. And God says, my desire is for you to have truth deep within you. For you to know truth in such a way that it changes your life entirely. It changes every perspective, every view. I use the term strongholds. A stronghold is a belief system. It could be good or it could be bad. A positive belief system would be, you know, refuges of truth, where we filter things through the Word of God in our life and things that we see. A natural positive stronghold would be your mom or your, you know, telling you, make sure you say please and thank you. I remember when I was young, that every time you walk out the door, say please, say thank you. That was like the thing I used to always hear from my mom. And so now I say please and thank you. That's a positive stronghold. But a negative stronghold is those things that drive you to a place of fear, rejection, despair, hopelessness. In chapter 8, it talks about those six areas, those negative areas that impact your life. And those are nothing but strongholds. They're belief systems that cause us to behave in a certain way. And God says, I desire truth in you. I desire truth deep within you. I want that truth to take a hold of you. I want it to shape you, mold you, and create within you a refuge that enables you to live holy. And I'm not saying holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Is that okay? I got to be careful when I start spelling. My team's always correcting me. They're like, did you look over this before you sent this out? I go, no, I didn't. You should. Please send it to me next time. Let me look over it. I knew it the minute I started spelling. I'm like, oh, I got myself in trouble. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He wants us to be wholly in love with him, wholly centered around truth. John chapter 4, 23 to 24 says, but the hour is coming and now is, this is Jesus speaking, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, now I want to look at something here, because I know you're familiar with the scripture, but here we have in Psalms where David's crying out. He says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. You want that truth just to be radiating within us. You desire that to be driving us forward into a deeper relationship with you. And then Jesus says, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father's desire had not changed. It was the same as when David was crying out. It was the same when Adam and Eve were created in the garden. And he says, I created you to have fellowship with you. I want to have fellowship. I want to talk with you. I want to commune with you. I want to love on you. I want you to talk with me. That was your purpose. But you believe the lie. You sold out for the lie. For a piece of fruit. You sold out for something that was inferior to what I was offering you. So Jesus comes along and he's reiterating. It says the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's like, it's like the message is still there. It hasn't changed. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I know we know this theologically, God is spirit, but I think we don't really understand that in our daily walk, in our daily life. Because we don't live like we understand it. Paul in Corinthian church, he told them twice, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? I mean, don't you realize that God himself is spirit and he dwells inside of you. We don't comprehend the fact that he's spirit, that he is with you every moment of every day, that he's with you when you click on a website you shouldn't be on. He's there. That he's with you when you're talking about somebody negatively that you shouldn't be talking about. He's there. That he's with you when you're in the bathroom taking a shower singing. He's there. See, we think We think we're alone. That's the reason there's things like depression and rejection and hopelessness, because we think we're alone. We believe he's not with us. We can't, for some reason, our minds can't grasp that. I love what Randy was saying about the fact that our minds are, we're trying to figure this out in my mind. I want to understand, God, why is this happening? Why? And we go through all this whole list of why. And God doesn't tell us why a lot of times. And if you're a control freak, like I used to be, I used to say like me, but I'm really working on that. If you're a control freak, you want to know why. If you're a perfectionist or performance orientated, I want to know why. If you're just a human being that's just going through things, I want to know why. And he doesn't always tell us. Sometimes he just withholds information. Because he wants us to know him. See, if we connect with him, then the why is no longer important. Really, it isn't. Why is this happening? I don't know, but Jesus is good today. He's still good. Why am I going through this? And see, here's the thing. And my voice today. When we're going through something and it's just whooping up on you, okay? You're just having a bad day or a bad week or a bad year. Maybe it's a bad, how many bad year? Okay, a couple of you, okay. So you're in this realm of just everything seems just to not be going right. And the Lord's saying, I want to connect with you. And you're like, yeah, I want to connect with you too. Will you stop this, all this? Because we have this idea that in order for me to connect with God, everything has to fall into a line. I don't know how many times over the years my wife and I have been married 29 years now, and in all of our years of ministry, these are the things that I hear a lot. You know, everything's going to be better when, right? When I get a house, when I get a new job, when I get a job, when this changes, when that changes, and there's always this condition upon us being able to connect with God. And then you know what happens when they get that? Nothing. There's something else that has to happen. It's a repetitive cycle. Because I'm going to tell you this. It's never going to all go away. We have the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Revelations that he says the kingdom is in tribulation. Meaning that God has given us life in the spirit in the midst of tribulation. That's awesome. That means that when it's all going bad, I can rejoice. When things don't look right, I can rejoice. That when it seems like everything is hopeless and in despair, I can rejoice. There are times I like to share this, people laugh, but I do this, okay? I like to just look in the mirror and look at myself and laugh. Really, it's fun. Try it sometime. Some of you look at yourself and you cry. Why? Try this. Just look and say, why? You got a sense of humor. That's why. I mean, really? When I was 22 years old, I had a 32-inch waist. It's not 32 anymore, okay? It's about 46 now. I had a 32-inch waist. Now I just look and I go in the mirror and I stand sideways and I go, why? But I'm not really asking because I know the reason. But, you know, sometimes I pull out that old picture and I just look at the picture and I look at me now and I look at the picture. Then I whip off my shirt and I go stand in the bedroom. I say, honey, what do you think? She goes, oh, Fabio. I says, thank you. She does. And then I realize it doesn't matter because my wife loves me. You see that? It doesn't. Now, granted, I want to be in shape. I want to be healthy. But in the end, what I'm seeing in the mirror was important when I was single because I wanted to be married. But it doesn't matter now because my wife loves me. Because she sees me through a stronghold. Really? It's like beauty's in the eye of the behold her. Oh, you're sexy. I said, thank you, sweetie. And that's all that matters to me. I could preach to 1,000 people and they could not like my message, but I'm going to go to my wife to see how I did. Because we have a relationship that is based on truth. That's our relationship. I know that she will be honest with me, and she will. I've had people, you know, oh, that was great, that was great. And then she's like, you know, there's a couple points in there. You really got to watch her, you know. And I'm like, what did I, because I want to know, because her opinion is important to me because we've invested our lives in this together. We started our marriage. We says we want to have a marriage based in truth. We're not even married a year, and she comes out with this outfit on. She says, what do you think? Now, I can tell you, it wasn't good what I was thinking. I was like, uh-oh, this is a test. I didn't like it, but it was a test. I'm like, okay, if I say I like it, then that's not the truth. But if I say I don't like it, I'm in trouble. So I was going through this whole thing in my mind. What am I going to do? So I told her I didn't like it. Oh, yeah, uh-oh. She wasn't happy for the moment. But then I said, do you want me to be honest with you, or do you rather just tell you what you want to hear? And she says, I want you to be honest with me. And see, that's hard because some of you don't want that. We don't want truth. We don't want honesty. We want somebody to tell us what we want to hear because it makes us feel better, but it's not real. See, I love her. If she would have said, you know what, I'm going to wear it anyways, I'd have said, okay, let's go. Although, okay, I can see her looking at me. Tell them the story. So we're dating, okay? We're engaged. Now, I was extremely prideful back then, okay? You know, I'm just going to say this up front. I needed help. So she comes and she shows up in these shorts, and I didn't like them at all. And I'm like, we're not going out in those. And we're engaged, right? And she's like, I'm not changing them. I said, okay. So I ran back in the house. I had a pair of pants that I thought looked like those shorts that I never wore in public. And I put them on, and I says, okay, let's go. She goes, we are not going out in those pants. I says, well, we're at a dilemma here. The shorts go, the pants go. It's your choice. So we both changed. Help, Lord. So Jesus says that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're back to his desire. I desire truth in the inward parts. That's what God says. You desire, Lord. You desire truth in the inward parts. Jesus said he's still seeking after those who will, he's seeking after such those who were going to worship him in spirit and truth. Those who connect with truth at this new level. What they didn't realize is Jesus was about to die on the cross for their sins to defeat death, hell, and the grave so that we could receive him and that the way, the truth, and the life would then be dwelling in us, in our inward being. He was saying, I am making the way for you to know truth in your inward being because he will dwell there. I'm about to open the door and fling it wide and give you the very thing that I've been desiring since I created man and women and that relationship was destroyed. I'm going to restore it. I'm going to give you the privilege and opportunity to enter into that relationship of love and to know truth. Where there's been darkness, there will be light. Where there's been lies, there will be truth. I'm giving you that. And then we come to him and we say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, comes to dwell within us. And now truth is dwelling in our inmost being. And he says, hey, I want to talk to you about some things. And we're excited. because relationship has been restored. The problem is he starts talking about things we don't want to talk about. I don't get it. I'm like, Jesus, I wanted relationship. I didn't want correction. And he's like, no, I want truth in your inmost being. Every part of you flowing with truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. He goes, I want that in you. But see, when that truth starts to be released, that's when all the uncomfortableness starts. You know, we're not. I don't want you to touch that area. I mean, he starts touching areas of our life that are full of self. I thought it was ironic in Revelations. He said, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Why are you knocking? I thought I let you in. I mean, why does he have to knock? My kids come, you know, both my kids are married now. They got kids. I got 7 grandkids. Ruah. Love grandkids. My youngest grandchild is 4, right? Yeah, 4. Oldest is 16. Love grandkids. Get to play with them and send them home. It's awesome. Now, I don't even know what I was talking about, man. I just started thinking about my grandkids. Where was I going? Anybody know? Knocking at the door. Oh, yes, yes. If my grandkids come over, or my daughter or my son come over, they can just walk in the house. They don't have to knock. They got a code to the back. Hit the code, you know, and they just come in. They don't have to knock. So why is Jesus knocking? Did we not give him the code? I mean, are we got some rooms that are locked that we're like, we're going to keep that one shut. And he's knocking. He's polite. Apparently, he feels like he's not allowed there. I love my parents. I don't know how I would feel if I came home and I knocked and they didn't let me in. I mean, honestly, I don't know what I would think. First, I'd be bewildered. I might think, I'd probably bust the door down thinking they were hurt. But what if I seen them sitting at the dining room table just looking at me, but they wouldn't open the door? That's what we're doing. We're not opening the door. He's like, I want to bring truth. I want to sit at that table with you. I want to dine with you. But you got to open the door. I'm not going to break it down. I'm not going to. But you got to open the door. We say we want healing, but a lot of times we don't want healing. We want to feel better. And there's a difference. Healing means that God touches my heart in such a way that if the circumstances never change, I'm going to be okay because I have Christ. That I can love that person who's going to continually be at odds with me. That's healing. Feeling better means that that person's dealt with in such a way that I feel vindicated. Or that I feel better. First Corinthians 13:6, it says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Do you rejoice in truth? Now, I'm going to say, do you rejoice in iniquity? Now, some of you are like, I don't rejoice in iniquity. At least I'll never tell anybody. But let's break that down. Iniquity, especially in the Hebrew language, there's sin and there's iniquity. Iniquity is like that, what we would call generational sin, which might be a term that you're familiar with, or repetitive sins, or sins that came to get passed down, or sins that you enter into and then it's like a continual thing. Rejoicing in iniquity is when we rejoice in those things which hold us or others in bondage. Now that looks a little different now. Because in Galatians, Paul tells him, he says, O foolish Galatians, in Galatians 3:1, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That bewitch means to either slander or to be fascinated with something that isn't, where's it at? That's a false representation. Who's bewitched you? Who's fascinated you with iniquity? Who has fascinated you with things that are not drawing you closer to God? Worthless things. I mean, why is our fascination with things that are not promoting a life that is centered on Christ, that is in love with Him? In Mike Bickle's book, The Seven Longings, he talks about the longing to be fascinated. Man, I read that chapter. I was like, ah, that's me. That's my problem. I like to be fascinated. I like, you know, superheroes. Yeah. I had, my mom made me a Shazam outfit. How many remember Shazam? Okay, back in the 70s. Yeah, I had a Shazam outfit. I mean, I had the red leotards, okay, you know, and the yellow cape and everything, and the gold lightning bolt on my chest. And I'd be like, yeah, I was Shazam. I'd be jumping off couches. Couldn't fly either. It was a bummer. Man. I was easily, I just love to be fascinated. But there's fascinations that pull us away from the heart of God. He says, I desire truth in the inward parts. In other words, I'm coming to dwell within you so that you can commune with me, so that you can overcome those things which are dragging you down. Also in Galatians, it says, you ran well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth, in Galatians 5:7? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, sometimes our reason that we can't pursue truth is we are hanging around people that don't pursue truth. For some of you, your friends are your problem. And that's hard. I was probably in my late 20s. I was bicycling to school, to work. I never bicycled school. I did bicycle to work, though. It was 10 miles one way, and I had a friend that I started riding with that also worked at the same place, and we would bike to work in the morning. And we started becoming close. Problem was, is he wasn't saved. And my wife started seeing little things in my demeanor changing, just little things. And she's like, okay, we got to have a talk. I hate when she says that. We have to have a talk? All right. And the talk went something like this. Your friend is not saved. I know. So either you are going to influence him or he will influence you. Yeah, I wasn't saying that at the time. I was like, But I knew she was right. And I was like, okay. So I had a choice. I had to either just stop hanging around with him, or I had to start being a better witness to him. So I says, okay, we're just going to throw caution into the wind. And we were riding to work that day, and I met him for lunch because we worked at the same plant. I met him for lunch. I says, pulled up my pocket New Testament. Says, I got to tell you something. So I shared the Romans road with him. He gave his heart to the Lord. Bummers, I'm going to probably stand before God and wait for the crown. He goes, no, that goes to your wife. Bummer, man. Can I have part of the crown? He's there. I'll give you one jewel or something. You know? Why didn't I think of that? No. Here's the critical part. We all have wilderness experiences, right? We all have things where God just drives us into the wilderness. I found out there are. I did a study on the wilderness, and there are three different times that we're in the wilderness. Sometimes we put ourselves there, okay? We just disobeying God or whatever. Sometimes the Lord puts us there. Many times the Lord puts us there. And sometimes, depending on, there are individuals who the demons drove him into the wilderness. So sometimes the enemy drives us there. But either way, we end up in the wilderness, time and time again. Why? Why the wilderness? I mean, why a place of barrenness and destitution and tribulation and trials and all of these different things? Why the wilderness? I mean, Lord, can't you drive me into the five-star condo by the ocean with mountains in the background? You know, I mean, you're going to drive me somewhere. Let's go someplace that's a little more relaxing. Why the wilderness? There's no comfort there. Why? Because he's standing at the door and he's knocking. That's why. And he's like, the only place that you can hear me is in the wilderness. I have to get you away from everything that's distracting you, and I have to put you in a place that's broken, a place of brokenness, so that you can listen to my knock. And then if you receive and say, okay, Lord, I accept what you have for me. I accept your love of the truth. It says they were deceived in the last days, which we're coming into now. We're entering into those last days. The reason the Antichrist is able to deceive so many says because they didn't receive the love of the truth. It wasn't because they didn't know truth. They didn't love truth. And he's knocking in the wilderness because he wants you to open the door. And in Song of Solomon chapter 8, it said, who is this coming from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? See, that is the picture of beauty that God wants to give us. He's like, I want to bring you up from the wilderness, but I don't want to bring you up without truth. I don't want to bring you up so you can do what you want to do. I want to bring you up leaning upon me, falling in love with me, enjoying me so that your life can be full of vitality and energy and goodness and blessing. I want to give that to you. But I got to take you here so that you can find that. So if you're in the wilderness now, it's okay. It's a good place. Because the beloved is there with you. He's waiting. He's knocking. He's saying, will you let me come in? Will you let me touch that area of your life? Will you let me bring forgiveness? Will you let me bring healing? Will you let me bring comfort? Will you let me bring my wisdom? Psalms 51:6, where it says, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. See, that wisdom that he wants to give us comes from within when we are dwelling in that place of truth and abiding in him. Because we open the door. Now, for some, that's hard. It's like, I don't know how to open the door because I'm scared. I'm fearful. I've got apprehensions. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to release the bitterness. I don't know how to let go of the pain. God's not asking for all of that. He's asking you to open the door. That's it. He will help you to forgive. The Bible says that he doesn't want us just to forgive. He wants us to forgive from the heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's really, really hard to do without him. Pretty much near impossible. To really forgive from deep within your heart takes Jesus. I mean, a lot of us can forgive surface. Yeah, I forgive you. But to forgive deep from within your heart, that takes Jesus. To overcome takes an overcomer. Testing. Okay. Anytime you see something in Scripture where God's asking something of you, he says, I'm asking this of you, but I am the one who is going to help you. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He enabled us to properly love him. We don't know how to love God. How do you love God? I love God. Really? I mean, really? How do you love God? In all of your strength? I mean, that's really small, okay? I mean, how do we really love God? We don't have the capacity to love God properly. I mean, yeah, I love God with everything that I know, but I really can't love God unless he helps me to love him. Because my love will always be conditional. I love God when he. I love God as long as he.
But God says, I just want you to love me because I am. And he will enable you to do that. That's the great thing about Jesus. He's like, I want you to do this, but I'm going to help you. Oh, okay. I mean, if I told my 4-year-old grandson, I want you to climb this big tree, and he's like, I can't, Popo. I said, well, I'm going to put you on my back, and I'm going to climb up there, and you're going to hang on. Okay. We wouldn't get very far. Be better off just cutting down the tree to get to the top. But see, he's like, I know I can do it with Popo, because he'll help me. And then you know what he'll go home and tell his mom? I climbed a tree today. And then she'll say, did Popo help you? Yeah, a little bit. Because he's excited because he got to climb the tree. And see, that's what Jesus does for you. He says, hop on my back, we're going to climb a tree. Ha-ha! Hop on my back, we're going to forgive. No, I don't want to. It's the tree of forgiveness. I don't want to climb that tree. You didn't know you could laugh about being all jacked up, did you? Yeah. All right. I just want to take a few minutes because I want to be able to give you guys a break before Caesar speaks, and I don't want to cut into his time. Let's just take a few minutes and just meditate on the Lord. I just really feel the Lord wants to do something in your heart right now. Many of you have been here the last few days, and God's been ministering to you, and he's been touching you in different ways. He's been imparting wisdom and knowledge in different areas, and it's been opening up your heart to believe in different ways. But some of you, they're like, it's like, okay, this is all there, and it's things are happening, but I just feel like I can't open that door when he's knocking at. Just settle your hearts right now. I want you just to worship him quietly. Maybe meditate on scripture. I don't want your mind to be wandering. Just focus it on him right now. Not on the problems, not on the wilderness, but on him. Just focus on him. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Father, I ask you right now in Jesus' name to release a love of truth within souls right now. Ask him for it. Say, Lord, give me a love for your truth. Lord, let it burn within their hearts. Jesus. Truth. Lord, it is you who dwells within us. Let that truth burn to know you. Send out your light, Lord, and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Lord, it is your light, Father, that dispels darkness. It is your truth, Father, that causes the lies of the enemy that is warring against our soul to fade in the light of your presence. Release truth right now in Jesus' name. Some of you, even right now, there's like a doubt and confusion that's warring in your mind. You want to know truth. You want that reality to be real in your life, but there's a struggle. And you feel like it has to do with you, that you're a failure, and that you're not good enough, and that no matter how hard you try, it's not enough.
But I hear the Lord saying that this is not about that. It's the enemy's been attacking your mind. He's been deceiving. I just command that confusion to go right now in Jesus' name. And I declare truth. Father, release your love. He loves you. His desire is for you. He's not asking for perfection from you. He's asking, he says, walk before me and be blameless. See, you're trying to be blameless as you walk before him. He's saying, no, just walk before me and you will be blameless. When a three-year-old child walks before his father and he's falling all over everything, he doesn't say, oh, he's a mess. He's like, no, he's my child. All he's asking is stay before him. Trust him. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. He shall cover you with his feathers. It's speaking of the Holy of Holies, the cherubim, the feathers of the cherubim that cover the holiest place. He said, I will cover you with my feathers. I'm inviting you to this holy place. I'm inviting you to the inward place of truth, of liberty, of freedom. Come boldly before my throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's your position, it's your place, it's your rightful inheritance. Truth is yours. Psalms 119, 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. God, give us a love for the entirety of your word. Lord, even those areas that hurt our hearts, help me to love truth. Help me to walk in truth. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Stir up truth, Lord, in this place. A love for you, God, that supersedes the warfare, that supersedes the wilderness, that supersedes the distractions. A love for you, God. Lord, their hearts are after you, God, or they wouldn't be here. Give them, Lord, a burning desire to know you more, that conquers every fear, every doubt, every unbelief. Father, I thank you. Oh, he's calling. Just yield to him by saying yes. Yes, Jesus. He will give you the strength. Thank you. You are good. Lord, I believe that you've broken through, God, with truth. Lord, that truth will once again be awakened in many in the inward man. Lord, just finish what you've started. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Tim. What I heard the Lord saying when Tim was ministering and he gave the door, knocking on the door analogy, which, you know, in Revelations that is to the church, it's not to unbelievers. I heard the Lord saying, if you open the door, what are you afraid you're going to lose? What do you fear losing if you open the door? And in my heart, I think the issue that I often struggle with, because my earthly father was mentally ill and very out of control in so many ways, and I struggle with control. And I felt like when I was doing that exercise, I felt like I said, Lord, I'm afraid of losing control. And he started speaking to me about that. So that might be a good question for you to ponder with the Lord. So thank you so much. The Lord is so good.